Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. Welcome to the Micronet Enertech second quarter 2017 results conference call. All participants are at present in a listen-only mode. Following management's formal presentation, instructions will be given for the question and answer session. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded. I would like to hand over the call to Dilek Mehr of Corporate Profile. Dilek, please go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning, and thank you for calling in to review Micronet Enertech's second quarter 2017 results. Management will provide an overview of the results, followed by a question and answer session. Importantly, there is a slide presentation which management will use during their overview. This presentation can be found on the investor relations section of the company website under events and presentations. You may also access a PDF copy of the presentation by clicking the link in the company's press release regarding these financial results issued this morning, and then clicking on a second link labeled August 16 presentation. Callers accessing the PDF copy of the presentation will need to manually scroll through the slides as management goes through the presentation. I will now take a brief moment to read the safe harbor statement. During the course of this call, management will make, express, and imply forward-looking statements within the Private Securities Litigation Reform Act of 1995 and other U.S. federal securities laws. These forward-looking statements include, but are not limited to, those statements regarding our belief that Enertech is positioned for growth based on its strong reputation and an expected increase in military spending, our future revenue growth and pipeline, our expectation for more favorable top-line numbers in the second half of 2017, our expected gross margin improvement beginning in 2018, our reduced margins for Enertech, our expectation relating to the receipt of contracts resulting from the teaming agreement with an Indian aerospace and defense company, increased volumes and demand in the markets in which we operate, our product offerings and future market opportunities, expected new opportunities and anticipated orders, and growth resulting from the local fleet market and ELD mandate. Such forward-looking statements and their implications involve known and unknown risks, uncertainties, and other factors that may cause actual results or performance to differ materially from those projected. The forward-looking statements contained in this presentation are subject to other risks and uncertainties, including those discussed in the risk factor section and elsewhere in the company's annual report on Form 10-K for the year ended December 31, 2016, filed with the SEC. Please note that the date of this conference call is August 16, 2017, and any forward-looking statements that management makes today are based on assumptions that are reasonable as of this date. Except as otherwise required by law, the company is under no obligation to, and expressly it disclaims any obligation to, update or alter its forward-looking statements, whether as a result of new information, future events, or otherwise. During this call, in addition to the GAAP financial measures, management will discuss non-GAAP financial measures as defined by SEC Regulation G, including non-GAAP net loss or income. These non-GAAP measures exclude both share-based compensation expenses and the amortization of intangible assets. These non-GAAP measures are not intended to be considered in isolation from, a substitute for, or superior to our GAAP results, and we encourage you to consider all measures when analyzing Micronet Enertech's performance. A reconciliation of these non-GAAP measures to the most comparable GAAP measures is included in today's press release regarding our quarterly results and can be also found in the investor relations section of our website at www.micronet-enertech.com/ir-company. The slides containing the first quarter reconciliation can also be found in the investor relations section of our website at www.micronet-enertech.com/ir-company. On the call this morning, we have David Lucas, Chairman, President, and CEO of Micronet Enertech, Oren Harari, Chief Financial Officer of Micronet Enertech, and Ron Mayroz, Chief Product and Strategy Officer of Micronet Ltd. Again, as a reminder, management will be referring to a slide presentation that can be accessed via the investor relations section of the company's site or the link in the press release. With that, I will now turn the call over to David, who will begin the presentation on slide three. Please go ahead, David.
Thank you, and good morning, everyone. During the second quarter, we built our revenue pipeline to $16.5 million, which grew to a record of $22.5 million as of August 10, 2017. This was mostly driven by demand for Micronet's new mobile resource management product. Micronet achieved a record backlog of $13.5 million as of August 10, 2017, which is higher than Micronet 2016 full-year revenue of $13.25 million. We see demand continuing to grow for Micronet products as the electronic logging device, or ELD, mandate needed. Micronet is diversifying its customer base and enhancing its reputation as a provider of reliable, rugged solutions. Technology is our core competence, and as we enhance our top management team, we are pleased to welcome Mr. David Marcus as the new CEO of Micronet Israel. David previously served as the Chief Technology Officer at Point IoT Location, a global MRM company where he built and managed the company's R&D group and was also responsible for the company's product strategy, customer support, and IT. He brings deep knowledge in technology strategy and business development in the MRM space, and we did the fast-paced growth at Micronet. MSTech continued to consistently deliver on contracted aerospace and defense, or A&D services. MSTech is positioned for growth based on its strong reputation and an expected increase in military spending. Revenue declined in the second quarter and the first 6 months 2017 as compared to the same period in 2016. The decrease in sales is mainly due to a decrease in the supply of Micronet's new product line. As Micronet works to produce increasing quantities of its new products and has delivered on its purchase orders, we expect more favorable top line numbers in the second half of 2017. I'm moving to slide 4. On slide 4, we present recent orders for our TREC 317 and recently launched TREC R5 products. The TREC 317 is an all-in-one rugged platform. The Android-based fixed-mount tablets offer advanced functionality at a competitive price. During the quarter, we received a $2.1 million order for the TREC 317 from a current customer. We also received an order worth $1.06 million for the TREC R5S. The ELD-compliant TREC R5 expands Micronet market opportunities, particularly with the smaller fleet size customers. In addition, during August 2017, Micronet received an additional $4.3 million order for the TREC R5S from a leading telematics provider. This order is the largest purchase order received at Micronet since 2012. We have a strong pipeline with a growing number of customers evaluating our products in the field. I'm turning now to slide 5. Slide 5, MSTech entered in a strategic teaming agreement with a leading Indian aerospace and defense company. Both companies are jointly pursuing a significant A&D offset procurement opportunity. The opportunity arises from a trade agreement between the government of Israel and India, whereby any Indian purchase of Israeli military equipment over a certain amount required an offset of 30% by the Israeli government. India and Israel have a strong trade ties, with the value of aerospace and defense contracts between the countries currently estimated at over $2 billion per year. MSTech and the Indian Defense Company are now actively bidding on joint A&D contracts under the Indo-Israeli Aerospace and Defense Procurement Agreement. I'm moving to slide number 6. On slide number 6, we have an overview of the positive trending in both our business. In the $10 billion MRM business, we are seeking Micronet to receive purchase orders of increasing value from both new and current customers, pointing to strong customer satisfaction with the Micronet products. Micronet's new rugged onboard computing products are experiencing increasing demand because we believe they create strong value for the customers. The connected rugged device optimizes transportation planning and performance for our customers through a network of electronic links that transacts bulk material purchase just in time. Micronet rugged mobile device offers instant demand visibility for our customers. This cuts down on-site wait time and provides proof of delivery. A very important feature which improves cash flow for our customers is our device's ability to create faster payment processing for the goods and services. The local fleet market and the ELD mandate are the two main growth engines for the company at this time. The government ELD mandates require all trucks drivers in the U.S. to report their work hour electronically. 2.6 million drivers are now required to have a device that meets the ELD mandate by the end of 2017. Micronet continued to broaden its product portfolio and to target the additional segment in the MRM market. In aerospace and defense, Enertech is positioned for potential growth. As most advanced militaries continue to rely on missile defense systems, this creates more demand for our missile defense offering. We expect continued demand for our mobile command and control centers. In the coming quarters, we also expect contracts resulting from the teaming agreement with the Indian Aerospace and Defense Company. I will now turn the call to Oren for a financial review. Oren?
Thank you, David, and good morning, everyone. The next slide, slide 7, illustrates our revenue breakdown by segment for the second quarter of 2017 as compared to the year-ago period, as well as on a quarter-over-quarter comparison with the first quarter of 2017. MRM revenues were $3.8 million in the second quarter of 2017, a 14% decline from $4.4 million in the second quarter of 2016. In the second quarter of 2017, we saw a 41% increase from $2.7 million in revenues in the first quarter of 2017. For the aerospace and defense business segment, revenues were $2.15 million in the second quarter of 2017, a 7% decline from $2.3 million in the second quarter of 2016. On a quarter-over-quarter basis, revenue declined by 17% from $2.6 million in the first quarter of 2017. Moving to slide 8. On slide 8, we have revenue breakdown by segment for the first 6 months of 2017 as compared to the year-ago period. MRM revenue was $6.5 million in the first 6 months of 2017, a 22% decline from $8.3 million in the same period of 2016. For the aerospace and defense business segment, revenues were $4.7 million in the first 6 months of 2017, more or less consistent with the same period last year. Moving to slide 9. On slide 9, you will see the consolidated revenues declined by 12% to $5.9 million in the second quarter of 2017, as compared to $6.7 million in the second quarter of 2016. However, on a quarter-over-quarter basis, revenues increased by 12% from the first quarter of 2017. On a year-over-year basis, lower sales were mainly due to a decrease in the delivery of Micronet's new product line. Gross profit margins were 14% in the second quarter of 2017, as compared to 23% in the same period prior year. The decrease in overall gross margin was related to an increase in cost associated with the introduction of the new line of products at Micronet and engaging in contracts with lower profitability at Enertech. We expect gross profit margins to gradually improve towards the beginning of 2018. R&D expenses came down on a dollar basis and remain relatively consistent on a percentage basis as compared to the prior year. Selling, general administrative expenses, or SG&A, decreased in the second quarter of 2017 to $1.75 million, or 29% of sales, compared to $2 million, or 30% of sales, in the year-ago period. Net loss in the second quarter of 2017 was $1.3 million, or a loss of 20 cents per basic and diluted share, as compared to the net loss of $1.2 million, or a loss of 21 cents per basic and diluted share in the second quarter of 2016. Moving to slide 10. On slide 10, you will see that on a non-GAAP basis, loss for the second quarter of 2017 was $1.2 million or 18 cents per basic and diluted share as compared to $0.97 million or 16 cents per basic and diluted share on a non-GAAP loss in the second quarter of 2016. Turning to slide 11. You can see that our balance sheet remains strong with $7.8 million in cash and cash equivalents, $6.4 million in working capital, and $10.1 million in shareholders' equity as of June 30, 2017. I will now turn the call back over to the operator for Q&A. Operator?
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, we will begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press star 1. If you wish to decline from the polling process, please press star 2. If you are using speaker equipment, kindly lift the handset before pressing the numbers. Your questions will be polled in the order they are received. Please stand by while we poll for your questions. The first question is from Mike Vermut of Newland Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi there. Good morning.
Hi, good morning, Mike.
A few questions for you here. I guess starting off, the most important aspect of this is, it's great to see our backlog increasing. We've had a tough first half in getting, I guess, the product out there. Where's our, the key to all this is turning into profitability, positive cash flow. When you look at it, what is our break even? I assume we should be crossing over that in the second half of the year with the backlog and the deliveries that we're expecting. But can you just kind of give us a help into what that looks like and, whether we should be crossing into positive earnings and cash flow in the back half of the year with these revenue numbers?
Orion, would you like to handle it?
Yes. So basically, on Micronet side, the revenue breakdown for Micronet is approximately $25 million yearly revenues. That's based on current spendings. Now, both Micronet and Enertech have started to do some cost savings measures. So we probably estimate that revenues on a yearly basis, less than $25 million, will break even for the company. It's very hard to anticipate how on a quarter-over-quarter basis, whether we will break even, but we can assume that early quarters of 2018, we will probably get there.
Well, can you just back up? I didn't understand. So you said $25 million is a break even for the combined company, or?
No, not for the combined company. For Micronet, we're looking at, by current spending, $25 million, we'll probably break even the company. For Enertech, basically $10 million of revenue. So on a combined revenues, $35 million is break-even for the company based on current spending. As I mentioned before, currently the company is started to do some cost measure for both entities. So we assume that probably less than 35 consolidated revenues will break-even.
Okay, so now then let me ask you this then. So then the back half of the year, should we be close to a break-even cash flow where we're looking at on a combined revenue basis if we're getting these orders out?
Again, it's assuming we will get most of the orders out, then you can assume either Q4 or Q1 of 2018, we will get to break-even.
Okay. When we're looking, when we look from now in our backlog, and then we kind of look out into 2018 with the discussions we're having with current customers, with the ELD implementation coming, and then can you just kind of give us a look as to should 2018 with the new products launching, should we be expecting nice growth into 2018 off of all this? And then as an add-on to that, how are we doing getting into the large service providers now, so that our recurring predictable revenue increases significantly going forward, whether it's the PeopleNet, the OmniTrack, the Verizon, how are we doing on the partnering with those guys so that 18, 19, 20 become much more predictable for this company?
So I'll handle the first half of your question regarding the forecast expectation for growth. So, based on the trend that we see right now and we experienced in the last couple of months, and we, by the way, we see it also moving forward, with the current customers, we see, as I said, a strong trend to continue to, make orders and increase orders. So this is pretty much give you the idea where we believe the company is heading to. So 2018, based on that, provided that will stay in the same trend, we should see a growth. Okay. Again, everything can happen in life, but right now we have a very strong, not only backlog, but we have a strong trend in the market, And I think it's a great sign that also our current customers give us repeated orders more and more. So based on that and on what we see right now, we see a strong trend in the market that like our product technology, believe that the product and the technology is suitable for the market and is a great solution, and we believe this trend will certainly continue. As for the second part, if I understand you correctly, our potential cooperation with the large service providers, I'll ask Ron, our VP product and technology, maybe you want to, Ron, you want to add a few words about it?
Sure. Hi, everybody. So we don't have at the moment any specific news to announce. There are discussions with some of the bigger players in the market without naming them that are interested in our new upcoming products. We hope for news, but there is nothing concrete at the moment. But we do see our new products carving a niche in the market that is unique and that even the bigger players can benefit from.
Okay, so we should stay tuned to that. So we are in, I guess, in trials or somewhere with some of the large players.
We are at the moment... the trials we're doing with our new devices, devices, are actually not with the top five or six players. They are with our biggest customers, which are close to them. But there are some initial talks also with some of the bigger players, the biggest players.
Yeah. Okay. Mike, let me add one more thing regarding this. This is, of course, what you see right now. We do have some plans in the near future. To go into some new areas, and then in which this area will certainly give a great potential to cooperate and collaborate with the top five or six. So as Ron mentioned, and again, I just want to emphasize it, right now we focus more on a second tier, not the first tier. But in the near future, and I'm talking in the next couple of months, we probably have some new direction and technology that would be very interesting to the top players.
Okay, I got a couple more quick questions, guys. Attacking and addressing the small and medium-sized fleets, I'm saying this is where a lot of the ELD push is going to be coming. How's our distribution on that front? It's one thing going after the large fleets or the big players. How do we make sure we have the right distribution to the small owner operators and the medium sized fleets that are going to be a lot of the demand pull coming in by the end of 17, 18, and 19?
Ron?
Yeah. So we are at the moment exploring relationships with the value added resellers and also with providers of ELD software. So these two channels are channels that typically work with the long tail, with smaller TSPs. The first one, value-added resellers that sell typically tablets and handhelds directly to the fleets. These channels are channels that we haven't worked with. At the moment, we are with initial explorations of working together. So that's one channel. The second channel that I mentioned, the ELD providers. So there are quite a few providers there in the market that work on what's called bring your own device, where we could introduce our new upcoming devices with. And we are already starting to work with them on using their channel directly into the smaller fleets. So these are the two main channels we're looking at.
Okay, and from everything I follow, competition is leaving the market in our space, right? For the actual hardware devices, most companies are exiting them. Are you seeing that out there? That most, I guess you have CalAmp, you have some foreign competitors, you have maybe an HP, but most are moving out of our space. Is the competitive market becoming more favorable for us, or has it not changed?
I will, you know, I will address part of the question. Well, you know, practically speaking, just based on the demand and the growing demands and the growing orders, I would say it's either there is a competition, but we are you know, one of the best, or the competition is getting less. But still, you know, the bottom line is we see an increasing demand for our technology and product. And this is, by the way, not to mention the new technology and product that we expect to get shortly. That's what Ran referred to, where we actually don't see really a strong competition there. Okay, we strongly believe that our technology and product, especially the new product line, is something which we don't really see real competition there at this moment. Again, anything can happen in the next couple of months, but right now, I would say that based on what we see and the result of the ongoing continuing demand for our product, I would say it's in our favor. Ron, if you want to add from your perspective, what do you see?
Yeah, I think that David covered it. I think we see in our market there is relative small number of players, and as you mentioned, some of the players that used to do hardware on their own are looking at moving out of hardware. Doing hardware is quite complicated, and when you have a business that is focused on software and services to also do hardware at the same time, quite difficult. So we do see a general trend in the market of exploring options of outsourcing the hardware. And like David mentioned, we have two new product lines that are coming out, one already out, the other one will come out the second half of this year, that are unique. And we don't see a direct competition to these devices. There is some overlap with other technologies, but we do think we have carved a niche in the market that is quite big, much bigger than our current sales, and where we could play in favorable terms.
Okay. And then two more guys, and then I'll let it go. I don't think we mentioned, or maybe I missed it, splitting the company between the divisions. Is that still going forward, or have we shelved that idea?
No, we still stick to the original plan, which is working on a spin-off. Parallel to that, we explore some other options. That you know, the bottom line would be that the MICT would focus on the MRM. This is a strategy which we kind of declare couple of months ago. This is the original reason behind the spinning off the aerospace and defense. So this is going to happen this way or the other. But right now we stick to the strategy. I mean, the strategy and the plan, and ultimately in the bottom line, we want to focus MICT on the MRM / telematics.
Right. Okay. So either it's a monetization of the Enertech or splitting of the companies or something to isolate the value in the MRM and let that kind of fly on its own. Is that the idea?
Yeah, definitely. 100%.
Okay. And then I'll pose the last question, because I assume the board is on this call and all the management. You know, we're sitting here. We have a phenomenal outlook going into 2018. You know, the numbers could be huge for this company with what's coming down the road. We're trading at, you know, a market cap, a fraction of our revenues, at a fraction of our tangible book value. You know, no one kind of believes that it's coming, but management has a good idea. Why is it that we have seen, and David, I know you own a lot of stock, but from the board, from other management, we have seen absolutely zero insider buying at these levels. I would think that if board members are committed to this company and they see the value ahead, that we would see significant insider buying when the stock is at 80 cents and we're trading at a fraction of revenues, a fraction of book value, and everything positive is on the horizon for us. You know, that's surprising to me, and I know it's surprising to quite a lot of investors that we have not seen that. You would think that management and the board would be buying all the stock that they could at these levels. Is that something that we could expect from you down the road?
Well, Michael, I prefer to separate your question into two sub-questions, yeah, if you don't mind. Okay, so third question, it's not a question. It's a kind of a declaration which I fully agree with, and you know my personal view. I strongly believe that the company is significantly undervalued. In any measure that you measure, even if you just take the holding, just take the holding of Myconet, Tel Aviv, the 50% of the Myconet, which right now traded around a little less than $8 million. So this by itself is really show that the market, and again, it's my subjective opinion, but the market don't evaluate the company properly. As to the second question, I cannot represent the board. I can just represent myself, and I think it would be irresponsible to react personally on this call. But everything can happen, and it can happen either in the near future or whatever. But that's why I prefer not to refer to a question in an answer, okay? Unless you want me to call all the board directors and management and agree on an answer and come back to you.
I actually think that would be a wise idea. Or if the board wants to remain the board, then they should be putting their money into the company. Otherwise, you should consider finding other board members. That's what I actually believe at these values. If they're committed to it, they should put their money into the company. Otherwise, find other board members. That's my answer to this. So something to think about, and I think the board should think about it as well, because we have seen zero buying from the board or management.
And
we have a great future ahead of us, and it would be nice to see that.
Definitely. Okay.
Thank you.
The next question is from Craig Boots. Please go ahead.
Yes, I guess my question was sort of touched upon here by the last person. He was asking in regards to the spinoff, and I guess my follow-up on that would be, do you have a timeline as to when we may expect the spinoff to occur?
I cannot give you a timeline right now because it's really subject to a few legal processes, accounting processes and tax and this kind of stuff. So I wouldn't commit to timeline, but I just want to say in general that we're going to execute on our strategy, which is separate the two businesses.
I guess on the last conference call, I had sort of asked the same question, and I think at that time you had said it would be in 3 to 6 months, and now, of course, 3 months has went by. Would I be right to conclude that it should happen in the next 3 months, or is that not accurate?
What I say is basically based on all the inputs I'm getting from the people who handle this process, which is mainly the legal and this kind of stuff. We are subject to a few processes that need to happen. I don't have control, unfortunately, over the timeline, so I cannot commit to anything. I can say that in general, my previous answer is the correct one, but it can vary and can move, and I don't want to make any commitment on the timeline. Okay? But I would like to say that, in general, by the end of 2018, we definitely want to see, during 2018, not by the end, we want to see the two divisions separate, and to emphasize once again that we our strategy right now on the MICT level is to focus purely on MRM telematics, because we strongly believe that the potential only in the MRM is quite huge. So in terms of strategy of the company, the decision is to separate the two operations, two businesses, and to focus separately on each one of them.
Okay, that sounds good to me. And I guess one other question. We've been doing some share offerings lately to raise money, and I don't know if we're having problems with our capital, if that's why we're raising money. And I guess what my question is, it just doesn't seem good for the share price when we're raising money at roughly $1 a share, and I think the last offering was even less than that. And I'm just wondering if there's any more of that in the near future, or are we now looking good as far as our capital is concerned, where maybe we're not going to have to do this anymore?
This really depends on the performance of the company. And I don't have to explain to you that, you know, so far in the first half year, the company shows some losses, and we need the financing for the working capital and to continue to push the company moving forward. So it really will be subject to the situation. You know, I believe that as we see the company, the two separate companies, getting more and more profitable, we need less and less additional funds, unless we go to some, you know, either an acquisition or any transaction which need additional capital. And we do have plans to do so. I mean, we do have plans to continue the growth of the company, also based on not only organically.
Okay, and I guess my last question, I had heard you mention on shareholder equity, I believe you had stated it was just over $10 million. How does that compare to where our shareholder equity was a quarter ago? I'm just curious on the comparison between the numbers.
So I didn't mention this number. Probably the CFO Oren mentioned. The only number which I mentioned in this regard was that the holding of MICT in Micronet by itself is a little less than $8 million today. It's not the equity, just the holding. This is purely the holding, okay? Because the Micronet, as you're probably aware, is a public company. It's traded in Tel Aviv, so it has its market value. So if you ask about this number, this is what I referred to. And if you want to ask specifically on the equity, I can ask Oren to address the question.
Yeah, I guess I would, because I know it had been stated. I thought it was stated at $10.6 million, and I don't know how that compares to recent quarters, if we're going up in shareholder equity or if we've decreased. I just kind of like a comparison, I guess, on where we sit compared to where we used to sit.
Okay, Oren, are you on the line?
Yeah, of course. Shareholder equity basically on the last quarter was... for the yearly was 11, and for this quarter was 10. In the Q1, somewhere in the middle, so I think 10.5, as far as I recall. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I know for the yearly it was 11.
Yeah, so pretty much the same, you know. Maybe maybe half a million or a million less, so pretty much the same.
That's correct.
So its equity has decreased by $500,000, is that what I understood?
That's correct.
Okay, all right. Okay, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
If there are any additional questions, please press star 1. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. Please stand by while we poll for more questions. At this point, there are no further questions. Before I ask David to make his concluding statement, I would like to remind participants that a replay of this call will be available within 2 hours. In the U.S., please dial 1-888-269-0005. In Israel, please dial 03-9255-927. Internationally, please dial 972-3-9255-927. David, would you like to make your closing remarks?
Yes, thank you. Our record backlog of over $22 million as of August 10, 2017 is a strong indicator of the strength of our products and services in the market relative to competitors. It also points to our expectation of stronger revenue results in the coming quarter, as we estimate that the combined revenue for the next 12 months ending December for the 12th month ending December 2017 will range between $25 to $28 million. Micronet is focused on delivering product to meet increasing ELD-related demand as it continues to experience quarter-over-quarter revenue growth. Micronet is increasing its portfolio of industry-leading rugged mobile resource management offering, positioning itself as a trusted leader in the market. In our A&D business, increasing military budget combined with a trend for large multinational defense contractors to outsource has a potential benefit to Enetec. Enetec has been actively bidding on joint defense contract with the Indian Aerospace Defense Company, pursuing the large opportunity presented in the Indo-Israeli Aerospace and Defense Procurement Agreement. We are very excited about the potential for both our Enetec and Myconet business. Thanks, and look forward to speaking with you next quarter. Thank you.
Thank you. This concludes Micronet Enetec Technologies second quarter 2017 results conference call. Thank you for your participation. You may go ahead and disconnect.